I am trying to achieve balance, like Thai food or a gymnast. I want to find my center so I can find the center of all human beings. You can't be all things to all people unless you're all things to all people, man. Does he exist? Or is he a mirror? And we see ourselves in ourselves. Hey, I like you. You remind me of me. Hey, I hate you. You remind me of me. So I will try not to be all things to all people, but no things to no people at all times to all of you. And I hope that works. Oh, my goodness, I can't make you laugh. All that. First of all, I don't want to make you laugh too deeply, because a lot of my listeners I know have abdominal wall weaknesses. And I don't want you I say something funny and it tickles you so much that your intestines poke through some weak part of your muscle. And I don't want that. I've had that. I had to go to the hospital for that. And it's not pleasant. Let me tell you, guys, stuff them all back in again. Why would you do that? Now I'm laughing, Hardy. I'm sorry. It's so funny. Like some things, like booze being a cure for the hangover. Isn't that funny? But I want to surprise you more than anything else, because I know deep in my heart that appearances aren't everything. I mean, they're something. They're appearances, but they're no indication of what's inside. And you know that if you've ever received a Japanese confection as a gift. You go, oh my goodness, that looks lovely. And you take a bite and it's sweetened adzuki paste. I am sweetened adzuki paste. Now, somebody's saying, oh, I like that. Well, I know I do too, but I have to know it's coming. It's when you don't know something's going to come. Let's say you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and there you see some performance art right there in the corner. You might not know it's a play. You're not expecting avant-garde theater right there in the DMV, but it could be. They could have gotten some kind of grant. We want to have art in public spaces. So they say, well, we'd like to do Beckett at some sort of city office. All right, here's some money. What kind of props do you need? Oh, I don't know. Just drugs, I guess. Maybe I'm a drug for you. Oh, that'd be wonderful. Some of the ones that you literally put in your body can be harmful. But if I could be the equivalent of some sort of, I don't know, morphine suppository for you, and I just over time, I just take the edge off the pain a little while. I take all the pain away until you're so blissed out you make bad decisions. Well, we don't want to go that far. It's not for me to sort of temper things. I did say I was trying to achieve balance, didn't I? But sometimes I just go crazy with the fish sauce. Because you want to emphasize the things that are obvious sometimes. But it's the subtleties. Yes, it's the subtleties. Like you don't... People always don't taste the pencil in my pad thai, but I put just a little bit of pencil in there. Yes, you heard me right. And if you just do it, if you do it too much, it's bitter, and also, and you can taste the shavings. But it's a matter of a suggestion. I want there to be a patina of originality and thoughtfulness and something to me, but it's just... that, maybe. You know how they make something silver by aiming some kind of silver beam at it? I don't even know. It's not even a coating. It's just electro something. Maybe I'm that. I know I'm going out through the radio waves. Oh, my goodness, that's a scary feeling. I feel like Dr. McCoy on the old Star Trek. He's afraid of those old dang old transporters. Now we got them everywhere. But he's, oh, I'm not an old country doctor. And I know that once they take you apart... Actually, he was a philosopher, and he said, well, I think what's happening is you're killing me. You're salvaging the information, and you're reassembling it from matter that has no connection to me. So it's really not even me. You're just, every time they get in one of those things, they're being murdered and reassembled from matter that's in the atmosphere, using the recipe of the Dr. McCoy that went into the transporter. Well, that's crazy. You know, so So I don't want my atoms scrambled across the universe. Well, guess what? They're not going to be. We just grab the information and destroy them. And I know some of you are saying, that's not how transporters work. That's not how transporters work. Isn't that wonderful how now we disagree over something non-existent? I love that. I don't love it. I'm saying that sarcastically. Oh, isn't that horrifying? We can be divided over things that happen in a story.
Are you talking about the Bible?
I'm talking about any kind of story, any kind of details, any kind of tale that someone has built their world on. Oh, if you disrupt it a little bit, it could come crashing down. There was a man who lived in an apartment by himself, a small apartment. And every morning he had the same routine. He would have a cup of coffee and he would turn on his black and white TV set and they'd show the Three Stooges. And he would watch the Three Stooges and he would watch Disorder in the Court and other shorts like it. And he wouldn't understand some of the dated culture references. And he felt like he was in a time machine and he had gone back in the past, and instead of it being an advantage, it was a disadvantage. He was disoriented. He might as well have been from the past and not the future. He was helpless. It was like being in a dream, strange, not the kind of dream where you're hugging a mermaid or something, but a really strange, serious, odd, surreal dream where your kneecap is Nixon and clouds are clay. And he would watch the Three Stooges, and when those were done, he would get dressed and he would go to his job. And his job was just in the other room of the apartment. It wasn't at a computer or anything. It was a ledger. And every day he would open up the ledger and he would make certain marks in it, as per the instructions of his boss, Mr. Flintstone. He knew the apartment well. It was small. And so it was his world. And he knew his entire world. You say it's not possible to know the whole world. Well, it sort of is. You can know the whole world. Or you could know a lot about it. So much about it that you sort of have it figured out. Now, the paradox lies in the fact that there's always more. That your world lies embedded in a larger world like nesting dolls. So you can know your room, but you'll never know the room of others necessarily. Oh, my goodness. It's like that hotel that you described one time. Well, I didn't make it up. Where there's an infinite amount of rooms. Yes. And then you add one, it's still infinite. Something like that. I don't remember. I made it so that only the doors were discreet. And once you opened the door, it was just one big room that went on forever. Because dividing up infinity seems strange to me, doesn't it? How much? What percentage of infinity is this? Is the thing I have finite? Like this story. Now that I have stopped evoking concrete images like the chair he was sitting in, which just happened to be green with little pink flowers on it, or the table next to him, which dimensions of which were about 1 foot by 1 foot square with a coaster on it. What was on the coaster? Well, it was a detail from a mosaic in the Union train station in Cincinnati. And it was a large, muscled stevedore carrying a bag of something. I don't know, rat heads or one of those things they traded in the old days that would come in on ships right up the They used to say things differently. And if you're from a certain region, you have a way of saying things. Say, oh, is that Louisville? No, it's not Louisville. It's Louisville. 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 I said, man, can I say Louisville? No, that's not it either. Louisville. Blah, blah, blah. I think New Orleans is like that, too. And I want to say it correctly, but I also don't want people to think I'm from there, because that'd be a lie. Now, some cities I've visited, and they say, oh, we want you to feel like you're from here. I don't know. You say that, but then I went to one of your local bars and I got beat up. So how's that work? Oh, my friends, I wish I could fit in everywhere. You know how they have blood types? I said one's a universal donor, one's a universal taker, or not taker, what do you call it? I don't know. Taker, receiver, and donoree, receiver. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a doctor. I'm glad I couldn't even work at the blood center. Well, you know, but anyway, I remember from the old Bill Cosby, I said, we will receive, we will receive. We will donate blood, we will donate blood. It's funny his albums aren't as popular. I haven't been tracking the news, but I would like to comfort your heart right now. Maybe we all struggle and suffer. I would never say that sarcastically or make fun of it. My goodness, that's the one constant, isn't it? Oh, and here's a problem. Just between you and me, let's say we're the only two people in the room, and sometimes I think that I'm the only voice that may tell you this, but, you know, you're afraid sometimes to whine or whinge. It depends where you're from. Say, well, I can't do it. But one of the, if you're like in London or something, say, I prefer to whinge. I'll say, well, you whinge or whine. So I don't want to be a whiner. And, or a wiener, whiner, whinger, a winger. I don't want to be any of those things. I'd love to be winger just for a day. It'd be fun. I play a little guitar. But no one wants to complain, you know, because it makes you feel like, well, I know other people have it worse. Yes. But again, it's like being one of those rooms in an infinite hotel. Of course someone has it worse, and you have it. I hate to tell you this. You might be that person to someone else. Oh, that's rough, isn't it? You know? So I wasn't your plane, but... And then they say, your name has it worse. And you go, what? I do? I should have been complaining all along. Now, some people can do it. And there's a healthy way to do it. You can, first of all, it is your human right to complain about your situation. Because if you think it's, I don't know, it just feels like that. That's okay to do. If there's a God or not, I really seriously doubt that God would hold it against you if you went, man, this is rough, no? I know. So I think that's all right. Now, your solution to it, whatever. But I'm here to say that there are things you can do to express yourself in private. What? Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, there is no private because I believe in ghosts, or I believe that I've been looked down upon by heaven, the Lord's looking at me, or angels are looking at me, or the ancestors of the family circus are looking at me with wings. They're sitting there in their white robes, and they're sitting on a bench, and they're just as boring and dull as they were in life, and now they're sitting in heaven, and it was like, oh, I wonder what my children are doing. You should have lived your life for yourself. Now, where are you? Maybe you're in hell up there in the clouds as hell. You know, what's heaven? Heaven would be where? I don't know. Sometimes a nice little cafe or something. But you may be all alone. And you may be able to express yourself. Now, don't mean anything weird. I just mean some kind of writhing, expressive, full-body, physical dance where you channel all your anguish. Now, we make that when we're crying. If you've ever been in a fit of real depression, you twist yourself into all sorts of things. I know I've thought, oh, I wish my photographer friend was here because he'd be getting some wonderful, like, you know, especially if you're sobbing uncontrollably or something and you're just writhing around like you're having a stroke on all sides of your body, up and down, left, right. And so, well, oh, what you're describing is horrifying. What I'm describing is a human condition and the Japanese dance form of buto. So sometimes there's only wordless ways to express your anguish and grief. Words are so limited, aren't they? Now, I use them, so you use them for a living. Hardy, no, what gave you that impression I make a living? My words. No, I feel like mostly my words prevent me from making a living, but that's all right. Because I don't mind using them like, oh, I don't know, like a bass guitar. What do you mean? Like music? No, just something to concentrate too much energy on that's really, in the end, a feat. and empty and unproductive. And I love it. And doing things for their own sake does not bother me because I feel like that is part of this bargain. Now, there must be something to counteract the tragedy of our short existence.
Speak for yourself, Hardy. I've been here 1,000 years. I know, old timer. I know.
But some of us don't live that long. And life could be fleeting. And it gets away from us, too. You say, oh, so many of us say, how am I? I just looked at our recent band photo.
Yeah.
And I realized, so we've been together 40 years?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, something like that. You go, oh, should we, like, do a new press kit? Something like that. But life gets away from you. But it's a beautiful thing, too. It can, you can ride it like a wave, or you can fear it like it's a wave, or you can drown in it like it's a wave, and I guess ultimately you will drown in it. Something's going to kill you. Might as well make friends with it. I always say that at a home invasion. So you need a weapon in a home invasion or something. I say, nope. They come on in. I say, yeah, you're going to kill me. But first, you're going to have to listen. We're going to be friends. You're going to listen to this comedy record that I'll enjoy. You're going to love it. It's skits. Or some of my records that you might think are comedy aren't comedy records, I think are. Because they're, what's the word? I guess, you know, ironic or campy. There are people that they don't know that they're making a fool of themselves. I love it. I am probably one of those people. I've realized that. I wake up almost every day, multiple times during the night, screaming and thinking, I'm a laughingstock. And I think, what's that so? If it weren't for, there'd be no laughing soup. There wasn't laughing stock. What's the other meaning of it? Those things you put your head and hands in if you're arrested in the 17th century? Oh, don't I know about that. Oh, my goodness. Do the smallest thing and they lock you up in the public square? People come up behind you, do all sorts of things, put all sorts of things down your pants, and there's nothing you can do about it because your head and your hands are in these stocks, so-called. Oh, my goodness. But that's what I get for, I think, what did I say? Excuse me? Or something like that. I don't know, but to the wrong person. And you pay for those indiscretions. Oh, my goodness, consequences. They sneak up on us. Just like I had a friend that has a cat. That's a psychopath. And you go to their house and the cat just waits for you to attack you. And I mean attack. I mean try to rip you apart. Mostly knees down. But it'll climb up you and try to get your face and everything. And I've discussed it with it. I say, friend, I think that your cat is really like, you know, a serval. Or a bobcat or something. I don't think it's a normal cat. I've never seen. I love cats. And mine, as you know, just died. And its ghost is here. Or I have mice. Because I'm still seeing things out of the corner of my eye. The cat was not very good at getting mice anyway. I killed one time. And then, you have mice? I think y'all probably have mice. You just don't know it. I at least know it. And have friends with them. How do you be friends with them? First of all, I'm not infested. I have a finite number of mice. One of them wears a vest. One of them wears a bow tie. One of them goes around naked. And I think there's a few others, but I haven't seen them. And so I just give them names and all. Say, hey, I don't know, I call them Ralph or something. They're not like cartoon mice. Because I've tried giving them spools and things like that to use as furniture, and either they're ungrateful, some little ingrates, but I don't know their culture. What am I giving them? You know, I think, oh, they're going to think this wooden spool is like IKEA table. They're going to go, why don't we get the garbage? We don't even live like that. We don't live like that. We live on paper shreds and all. Trying to impose something on us, making us sit in chairs where our bodies don't move like that. Need mice chairs. They're different. It may not look like a chair that you want it to have it look like. That's why back in the day they would murder the mice and then taxidermy them doing what they wanted them to do. Put glasses on them, say, now you're a doctor, like that. Say, wow, can't you just let it be what it is? Because, you know, I don't. They didn't just find a dead mouse and then stuff. They killed one to do that to it.
So it's just a mouse.
Yeah, but I mean, you're asking for it if we get invaded by aliens. You know, you're really asking for it. Not that you'll know that you'll be mummified and stuck on some kind of spaceman's ashtray, but it might happen.
Well, I welcome it.
I had a really really grotesque things as a child that were souvenirs from Florida. One of them was a sea star, which back then we called a starfish, but it's not a fish. It's a sea star, a creature with no central nervous system, I don't believe. And then I had a seahorse, which we now call seahorse or horse of the sea. But both of them were just dried up and dead. And they sold them like that. Here's a dead seahorse. And I never knew how they moved in life till years later. It's like, oh, I don't know why I thought it was like, I thought maybe it was a lizard that they did something to. But gosh darn. And I had that for a long time. And they used to freely sell you dead things like that. Now, our fella who sat in the chair and drank his coffee and watched his Three Stooges would then go and brush his teeth. And he would use this time brushing his teeth as a meditation on mortality, because his bare teeth evoked for him the image of a skull, and suddenly he could imagine his own head, a skull, hanging in some Italian chapel, eyeless, expressionless, or smiling, but a skull. Our most symbol of mortality and death. Man contemplates himself by looking at this skull. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio. Who? Yorick. Oh, I thought you called me Yorick and then realized that's Horatio and changed it. Like, alas, Yorick. No, you just dug him up. Why'd you dig up your old friend like that to touch his skull? Sometimes, you know, when someone's dying, I might touch their head and face. Well, if you forget, sometimes you got to go excavate them, go back, fondle the skull a little bit, say, I love you, buddy. But it's not them anymore, is it? But you got this skull, might as well sell it to some kind of creepy person who'll put a black candle on the top of it and mumble something in front of it, hoping to control others. Don't do that. Well, so I'm not trying to control others. I'm trying to get money. Okay, that's all right. That's a green candle, though, I think. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your voodoo. And I don't mean real voodoo. I mean in the small v, when we're just talking about it. Not the real thing that I have a scholarly interest in. Oh, my goodness, but I'm not here to educate, and it's not my job. That's why I think people should be certified to do some things. It's like, whoa, you're talking outside of your, I wish there was a know-it-all guy named Ken, because that'd be perfect. Say, oh, that's beyond your Ken, like that. Because I've noticed that a lot of folks believe the word expert is like something that, like you can take, like a driver's license, a local one that you can take to another country and it works there too. So I could be let's say I'm an expert on fish eggs. Well, I'm also an expert on ocean ecology and the weather and perhaps psychology. And you think I'm being far-fetched, but you ought to look at these ambitious books some people write. You go, my goodness, that's some excellent reportage. But they really are kind of, well, you think it's wrong to do things across disciplines? Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I believe that I do smell a lot these days, just like there's more exhaust hubris or something. It just, there are a lot of arrogant people who are just spouting a lot of opinions. I don't do that because, well, yeah, you do. Do I? Well, I'd like to do a giant disclaimer right now. Everybody out there in the sound, within the sound of my voice, and because of broadcast, not physically here, because there's no one here, I would like to say that I'm not qualified to speak, teach, report, comment, be an expert on anything, just like most of you. It doesn't mean that I don't have things come out of my mouth. I say things. Some of them, I put them in opinion form. But to me, opinion is just like a sestina or some other poetry form. What's a sestina? Like, what's another one? Sonnet or something. Something that's got a prescribed line count and meter. Do I speak in meter? Well, we all do, don't we? But we mix it up. And that's all over the place. Just like, oh, shout out to Drew from Matmos for the hit him. Inventing something in his sleep in a dream. That's amazing. I wish I had dream. Nothing ever comes to me in a dream like that. Occasionally I'll get a recipe, and when I wake up, it's just nonsense. I've never had anything given to me. That's a gift. I'm going to give you something now. But I really don't. And dreams all mainly just disconcert me. And I'll wake up terrified. Oh, I don't want you to be terrified. I want you to be something between comforted and feeling like you had a gas bubble, but it just dissipated. Well, a little relieved, maybe. Oh, my goodness, I feel like I was holding it, and now I just let it go. And it's not really what you call a joyous moment, but it is in contrast, and that's what I want to be. I want to feel like you had to pee for a long time, and you just let it rip. And you may shiver a little because your body temperature drops because all the nice warm urine has been expelled. I wish I could get some of the warmth back. Now you can with Urine Warmth Extractor. I found a new way to keep the warmth but get rid of the pee. Well, this is the diaper. But what the diaper does is then converts it to electricity that you can sell back to the city for credit. I don't know that it would heat a whole home. But any kind of that, you can recycle energy all the time. And I say, why bother? Well, because, well, various reasons. Well, here, like, to get coal, sometimes I have to take the whole top of a mountain off. And it just makes everything look uneven. So I figure, hey, well, maybe I don't need as much energy if I just, you know, collect my spit or something and do something with it. People compost all the time. It's good. And when you're on the space station, they use your poo, they mix it with something, and they use it in the 3D printers. So, I mean, everything has been extracted, all the nasty stuff, but they make whatever tools they need. I wonder if you need gravity for a 3D printer. Can you do it in space? Has it tried? Has it been tried? I would love that. Can you have a trial in space? Has that been tried yet? I wonder that. Let's try people up in space. Space tribunals. Would you be in the jurisdiction of the ship? Well, I don't even know how that works. But I'd love to be a space judge. I don't want to pass judgment on people. But if there's a really clear set of laws, I could tell you what I think. Oh, my goodness. And I wouldn't mind having I've never had a job that had a uniform where you had to wear a special thing, especially a robe. I've done, when I work at home, I wear a robe. So it wouldn't be, judges aren't very different. But I believe that it would be nice to have a sort of a uniform. I'd love to get in. I used to, when I was younger, go to those thrift stores. You go, look at that work shirt. It says, and there's a patch that says Nick. And my name's not Nick, but I love it. So you get these work shirts that made you look like you're there to fix the air conditioning, and your name was Nick. But it was just to go to the club, or, you know, now I'm going to go see, you know, and then Dame Athens Band or something. And I've got, look at my bowling shoes. They're regular shoes, but they're bowling shoes. I had a lot of things like that. Oh, my goodness. I never wore a watch with Mao on it, though. I can tell you that. I wouldn't. That's my line. That's my line. That was a real show. What's your line? What's my line? What's your line supposed to, what's my line is it now? No, I'm not thinking whose line is it anyway. I'm thinking about when they'd guess somebody's line of work. What do I do? What's my line of work do I do with Arlene Francis? And they'd say, you know, or there was, I've got a secret. And, they try to guess what the secret was. Most of the time, it was just they had killed a lot of people. And it's like, oh, we should have guessed. And they had people like intellectuals of the day, like I said, like Bennett Cerf or Dorothy Kilgallen, even back in the wow, just real intellectual heavy hitters. I know all you young people are running to Google right now. Say, are we supposed to know this for the test, Professor Hardy? Oh, I'd love it. If we had a class, there'd be no test. What you remember is up to you. I can't make you remember stuff. Even if I tested you, that's silly. How do I know that what you've retained? I think the best thing to do is just when we're done with the course, drop you off in the middle of nowhere. See what you do. That'd be better. That's a better indication whether you absorb anything. The other day I was watching the television, and I won't say which of the channels I was watching. Watch one of those streaming services that makes you feel like it's TV because they show you a lot of commercials. And so most of the commercials I get are for drugs. There's one that says, hey, I'm a little pill with a big story to tell, and then they never tell the story. I think I mentioned that last week. Well, there's quite a few ads. Well, it was one particular that I'm trying to remember that felt just for me. Most of them, like I say, are drugs, but occasionally there'll be something that isn't a drug. And the other day, there was an ad for having your own pirate ship. And I thought, man, that is something I might want. And it came back to me that the old Neiman Marcus catalog used to have one unattainable gift in it. It'd be like a submarine or the planet Venus. And so you'd have all these things that were kind of affordable. And then, you know, they got this one's $12 billion. What is it? You know, oh, it's the control of the Vatican or something. I don't know what it is, but it was always outlandish. It's usually an object, though. It wasn't like, oh, it's a date with Pele. I don't even know. Was he single? I don't think he's single. So I'm sorry. I can't go. That's not how he sounded. Stop it. Don't do voices. Oh, my goodness. I've told you who's responsible for all the evil in the world. And I don't want to put it all on one person. But it's Robert Easton, the old dialect coach from back in the day. Because every ethnic accent you heard being done by people is his doing, a lot of it. You know, this is how they sound in this part of Ireland or something. And then you make actors do it and they do it. And gosh, there you go. This fella from Texas has made it up. I don't know that he made it up, but yeah, that just isn't a thing anymore, I don't think. Maybe it is, but wouldn't it be better to get somebody from the place? You know, so this is, and he would, you know, this is how they sound in Alabama. And he wasn't from there, but that's okay. If you can, he's just a fantastic mimic. It's kind of cringy, that's all. I love people's own voices and everything. I don't need accents. That's from the back of the day when everybody, they identified with their groups like that. That's why those mid-century movies where everybody, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, hey, that's guy we call Irishman or something like that. They all had this kind of surface identity. And old war movies are like that. Hey, Midwest, what do you, you know,
Bring me my canteen.
That's not a very creative name. What was that even yourself? Named after your town or something?
Hey, Tallahassee.
That's okay. That sounds like a lot of people named Tallahassee probably, but, you know.
Hey, Live Oak.
I don't know about that. Or something. You're yelling out every name of every town you're from. That's funny. I could see somebody going, hey, Boca Raton, like that, you know. You could say some of them derisively and some of them, you know, admiringly.
Hey, Devil's Hole.
I'm sure that's a place. I bet in Florida. Oh, my goodness. There are mysterious places all around us. I want to be one of those. I want to be, for you, like something that you're not supposed to go. Your parents would be upset if you went in exploring it like it's a big drainage conduit or something. You go into that sewer conduit pretending that it's Dungeons and Dragons cave. All right, meanwhile. Because if you do, you're going to be swept away by the current. So the current comes with the rains.
All right, I won't go in there pretending to be. I was going to pretend to be, what do you call it? Troubadour.
Troubadour. Oh, that's what a good Dungeons and Dragons character for you.
Or a man of wizard.
There you go. Still, don't go into that drainage conduit, pretending it's a cave. But here's a safe way. Not a safe way.
Hey, let's go in there. I need a bottle of something.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, here's a safe way to pretend that you're going into a mysterious cave, and it's just a cave of the mind. It's just with your friend Hardy. Come on in it. It's all about Mark Twain story where they went in a cave like that. Say,
Native American Yusef was in here and,
telling stories and everything like that. But, my goodness, we're going to use our imagination now to get ourselves in trouble, maybe in danger. If you come into an old drainage pipe with me, just even if it's in your imagination, even if it's, you know, philosophically or something, logically you crawl into a tiny space with me, you could get stuck. I mean, understand that there's risks. Even if you go off with any artist, you will get, like they said in 30 Rock, on the show 30 Rock, never go to a second location with a hippie. I say that with an artist, too. Never, if an artist starts to lead, here's my not as funny and catchy version. Never let an artist handcuff themselves to you and then make you go in a place with them, walk next to them handcuffed, and ignore your protestations to be released and subject you to certain experiences that you don't really want because they think that it's in your best interest because they're arrogant and that artist thinks that they are owed something. They're entitled to an audience. You don't put your hand in that handcuff. Do you understand? No, you're not going to quote that as much on Twitter as you do stuff from your funny sitcoms. I understand that. I'm not trying to replace that for you. There's enough sitcom writers on this radio station. They don't need another one. Oh, my goodness, I'm here to do just the opposite. I'm not here to give you a joke every, what's the timing now? Every few seconds, they got a little, is it 3 or 4 a minute? I don't know what it is. But there's no rate here. I mean, there are no jokes. There's just jokey feelings. There's this state of feeling like I'm in a big joke. Like we're all the punchline. So, yeah. When we all got here the same way, if you're using joke vernacular, let's say, that's just a little bit of ice cream, but listen. I want to be your friend. And your guide. And so come with me now to the apartment of a man who sits there and watches the Three Stooges and then goes and does his work in another room by going through a ledger, who brushes his teeth and contemplates his mortality, who who imagines himself already dead and then born again. Over and over, who thinks about time. What is time? What is now? There isn't any moment. I love it. Wasting time is good. Waste it, waste it, waste it, and then pick a moment and savor it. And absolutely lick the icing off of it. Lick it to death. Don't bite into it. One, two, one, three, like the ad. In fact, lick it, put it away for a while. Let there something get on it, like little dust and hairs and everything. Again, it's like it's a lollipop, but it's not. It's an experience. Go deep. You can go deep in anything. You know, that's a lot of people think they don't have a thing or they don't have a way of accessing the real wonder of the universe, that they don't have any way of peeking through the fence into the great ball game, you know. But you can go deep anywhere, and anything that you do can be a foo. Anything can be kung fu. You can do it when you make your coffee in the morning. Any small task, anything that has steps, can be meditative. You can go deep within each step. There's an infinite amount to think about and examine. The way it fits into everything. Oh, there's so much to think and not think and experience and not experience. Oh, the wonder you can control time. Don't let it get away from you by burning it up like that. You can waste it, but don't let certain emotions cloud your view of it, of the wonder, because they're liberating and they will deliver you from your fear. That's why I do when I'm alone and I believe I'm unobserved. I contort my body sometimes. I'll do dances, you know, not rhythmic ones, but just sort of move around to feel like I'm in charge of my body. Other people aren't judging me. But I want to make a face or move my arms or thrash about, that I can do that. It makes me feel like I have some control. I know I don't. So that's not the word. What's it make me feel? It makes me feel present. It makes the mirror disappear. It makes my eyes come together. Your E-Y-E? No. My eye and my me. Like I say, what am I doing? I don't know that I like myself. That's just one. Have those merge like that? That's what I'm looking for. Oh, and I can do that. How do I do it? I do it through nonsense. Oh, my goodness. Occasionally, I will bring you to strange places, like my friends. You know, when I talk about my friends, Butchie and Lou, and we go to Butchie's Dalgarian service station. That's his house of worship. That's his religion. And sometimes we go there and we listen to all the congregation yell Shemp Jive. And it makes us feel wonderful and warm and accepted. Shemp Jive. And we think, is it just a homophone? Does it just sound like they're saying the name of one of the Three Stooges and the word jive, like messing around? Shemp Jive. Or is it just another language that I'm unfamiliar with and it just happens to sound like that? You know, when we hear another language and we say, what are you saying, fluffy potatoes or something? And we go, no, it just might sound like fluffy potatoes, but it's fluffa patatas or something. And it doesn't mean that at all. It means taxi ride. So that's what's going on here? No, I don't know. No one knows. Doesn't matter. What matters is that we're together, that we are comfortable with the mystery, that we are not constantly asking, what's going on? What's this? What's this supposed to mean? Who's that? What are they? Do I like them? Do I not like them? Am I supposed to like them? Am I supposed to like this? What's this guy? Who's this guy? What are they doing? Are they a threat? Are they not a threat? Oh, my goodness. Shemp Jive. Now, there's nothing more wonderful than also speaking nonsense. And, It's to do it. It's lovely to do it in church if you can do it. I don't know. I've never had an ecstatic experience like that where I've spoken in tongues. But I've done it on the toilet where I just feel expressive and I just want to make sounds and everything like that. And if you do it in certain contexts, let's say you can, one context is you're speaking in tongues, and then the other, you're Kurzschwitters, you know, during the Ur Sonata, you know? So is it the Ur Sonata, or is it speaking in tongues? And I guess there's nobody there to stand up and with the gift of interpretation when Kurzschwitters is doing it and saying, Fums bavaratetse u.
So, Brother Kurt, he's saying that we all need to come to church more often, and on we need a new recreation center.
All right. I just do that sometimes. I'm not trying to mock anybody. There are just some emotions that are beyond words. I hate the fact that we try to jam everything into, everything has to have a word assigned to it. It's got to be expressed verbally, so-called. And I know that everybody feels that because there wouldn't be music. There wouldn't be wordless sound expression if words were enough. They're clearly not. What was that? It's just the sound. I was making a sound. But the sound had an emotion with it, I think. I don't want to do the good emotion sounds because they sound nasty, a lot of them. You know, there's no, you don't know, are they having a good, particularly good dessert or anything else? But boredom sounds are nice. I like the sounds of boredom. I like sounds that people make when they're bored, mouth sounds. And that's interesting to me.
Well, you're a simpleton.
Well, maybe I am a simpleton, but now you're thinking about something too. Go around and collect all the mouth boredom sounds that people make or wordless things that people do. I know it's a fun thing to do with videos. People like to clip out all the words and just leave I mean, at least I do. I know others do that too. And I love it. I could listen to that all day. Someone just goes well, maybe not all day. You think you can. Listen, hey, what? They're showing Man Ray films at the museum. Let's go. All right, I'm done. My attention span wants to be longer than it is, and it certainly does for experimental things. But I'm thinking, well, maybe I can use my short attention span for good and bring it to the art forum here. And that's what I've been doing on radio now for years and years, decades and decades. I think I'm going to take my tiny little attention span, my very short memory, my good intentions. I'm brimming with good intentions. I think now that I'm not disingenuously universalist. I think I like people, and I generally want to be friends with everybody. So that's real. And then I want to bring that out and add a lot of confusion. And I want to add to it a certain, what's the word when you do something? Not, inadequacy? Unqualified thingy doing? Because I believe that we all then see ourselves a bit. You know, things are perfect. We just can't relate. I think that about celebrities and everything. Even now, I used to be that back in the day, really, when they had studios and everything, they would control what we thought about the celebrities. But even now, they seem, you know, they seem to have these lives that are more valuable. You know, they make more money, and more people know who they are, and we're laughing. And sometimes now, we just watch them sit around and have conversations with other famous people. That's it. It's been reduced to that. So, it's like I'm there with them. They're my friends, too. But you're not there with them. You're not their friends, too. Go sit around. Don't watch celebrities talk to other celebrities and giggle. Go get your own friends. I feel pretty strongly about that. Oh, my goodness, it's lovely. Shut off this radio. Go find the Hardy, your real-life Hardy. And you got to be a little brave for that because it's probably some insane person at the bar. But it might be worth it. It might be worth it. But gosh, you're as interesting. Really, your conversations are as lively and wonderful, and you're not doing any harm or, you know, than these silly things we stare at the screen and watch them. Radio is like that too, you know, that's why I try not to have anybody on with me. You know, when they all sit around and giggle, like it's the cool kids at work, and it's like you get to listen because they're not bullying you, but also you're not invited there. You're not really there. So if it's just me, right, you think, well, there's another isolated fool. There's somebody else who's ended up by themselves. There's somebody else who's not surrounded by, oh, my goodness, he just says things, no one reacts. Oh, it's a lovely way to express yourself. There's nothing more confusing than the laughter of others. There's nothing more confusing than applause, sighs. Sighs? No, never mind. You know. Just reactions. I've been so confused and tortured by them before. You know, self-conscious. Do you want to connect with others and you just feel you're setting yourself up for rejection? Oh, none of that goes on here. And I want you to discover the most accepting friend that you've ever had. And oh, it's you. It's you. You're the most accepting friend you ever had, potentially. Maybe not right now. Maybe we need to work on that a little bit. But we're going to turn you into the friend that can provide you with a lot of the things that you need, that you thought were out of reach. Because this constant comparison to everything that's all this outside looking and not enough inside looking. And you can, how do I find the inside of myself? Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to sit in a solitary, comfortable chair, maybe a green one with little pink flowers on it. And you need to sit next to an end table, right next to your left hand, even though you're right-handed. It's 1 foot by 1 foot. It's about the same height as the arm of the couch, maybe a little lower. And on there is your coffee. And you watch those Three Stooges. Moe raised his hand. Spread out, he said to Shemp. I'm trying, my brother, said Shemp. I'm trying to spread out across the universe, opening my arms wide like wings, embracing all those who need the warmth of my stooge. Oh, I do believe I need to spread out. Mo put his head down. I was going to take these pliers and put them in your nostril, but I've decided not to, because I too will spread out and open my arms and my heart wide and let in all who feel the stooges the way I do. Oh, not the literal Three Stooges. Oh, my goodness. I would never be like that. I'm not a fan of anything necessarily. And when I speak about things, anything, I don't mean it literally. So when I say Shemp, I don't mean just the person, Samuel Howard or Horowitz. That's not who I mean. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, that's part of it. But there's more. There's more, because once a spirit or an idea enters the world and enters the hearts of others, it transforms, it grows, it changes. And I want that, oh my goodness, I want that with all my might. I want to say, oh, Hardy White's coming out through these radio waves, and you're going to get a little bit of it, and you're going to take it and you're going to make it yours. You're going to take some of it and make it yours. It doesn't belong to me. You don't owe me anything. You owe me nothing. I want you just take from it, make some of it, and then make sure that you pass on the seeds. That's all. I'll share in this corn. Well, whatever. Wheat. Oh, man, I don't know what you like to grow. Radishes? How do I share the radish seeds? And there's a YouTube video, I'm sure. I don't know. Some things the seeds are obvious, others not. Tomatoes, peppers, and everything. But I've been gifted pepper seeds before. Don't do it now. It's such a tease. The summer's almost over, you know, and I'll be like, oh, I can't get these in the ground this year. Thank you for this gift that I have to wait a year to use. It's almost like when they announce, you know, guess what's coming up? The sequel to your favorite movie. How long from now? Oh, only 18 months. Oh, that's it. Two children could be conceived and born, and you still can't make the damn movie. Isn't that funny? It takes a long time to do things now. Now there's, I'm not criticizing, but, and I don't watch it so much anymore, but I'm told that there's 8 years between Doctor Who episodes now. I don't know why it takes them so long. I guess they write them, and then they debut them in an alternate universe to see if people like them. And if they do or they don't, then they make it for real in this one. That's some caution right there. I think they could save money and time if they just took some chances. Oh, who knows what people will like. I thought that when I first got on this radio station. I thought, my life is, what, it has peaked and it's over at the same time. That's what I thought. I thought, I'm going to get this wonderful opportunity to be loathed. And because you never know, my goodness, can go any way. If you smell, I feel like I'm like natto or some kind of cheese. You got to kind of know what it is to know whether to like the smell or not. You go, does something smell good? You know, and you got, because it could go either way. You go, oh, I hate to tell you what that really is. But in this case, I think it's a yes, it's something. That's why I say miracle nutrition, just to indicate that, yes, what you smell is food. It's not waste. It's waste, it's food, it's waste. It's kind of both. And that's a horrible image, but that's how I feel. That's what I'm doing with time. I'm making something in time that is both nutritious and a waste product. But you know, there's waste products that we use. Oh my goodness, did you know that in the making of certain whiskeys, they take the waste product and they use it to make other things like candy? I don't know if this is true. No, that's true, but that sounds like something that I know they use it for something. I think they, when they're making whiskey, when they do the mash and everything, they do the first fermentation, I think they take some of that, the actual corn stuff, because they got to filter it off, because you don't want chunky whiskey. That they tried that one time. So let's leave the corn husks in the whiskey, chunky style, like peanuts. And it didn't, no one liked it. So this is grotesque. And people looking at their stools thinking, man, I must have had a lot of whiskey last night. So they take it all out, and I think they give this fermented corn mash to alcoholic cows, because some cows are alcoholics, and they give it to them, and they go, I'm sorry. I feel better. And I'm not going to lie to you. I need fermented corn mash. And they give it to them. And that's how they recycle. And then those cows, in turn, come up with the milk that they use for things like, you know, bourbon cream or anything, any kind of alcoholic thing that has milk in it. Those are yummy. You know, the cocktails that have milk always sound so appetizing. Somebody came up with that, you know, give this to the baby, it'll shut it up. Hey, that's not bad. Let's call it a Brandy Alexander. But originally, they give it to Hush. It's called Hush Child, and those were good. It's just like brandy and egg and milk or something. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to go. You should go have a Hush Child right now. Say Shemp Jive, Hush Child time. Those Brandy Alexanders. You know where I had a good one? At Angel Share. Is that still there? And you go, oh, they closed Angel Share, Hardy. Oh, it's not the back of that Japanese restaurant. No. Oh, well, they had a good one. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org, worldwide freeform radio, the way it was meant to be heard, free form ray. And on around the day. I hope you have a wonderful time. See you again next week.
Yeah.